Welcome to Discovery's live stream. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's a special Sunday.
It is a special Sunday. We've been looking forward to this day for some time.
Yes.
We've been talking about it and talking about it.
We are starting a new series on this new year, and it is titled Chrysalis, Coming Out of a Hard Place.
Yep.
And I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I taught kindergarten for 6 years, and any kindergarten teacher knows one of the cool things that pretty much every kindergarten classroom has is those little, you know, cylinder with a net places for the kids to watch this incredible process of butterflies coming out of their cocoon. It's like watching a miracle.
Like watching a miracle.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Like, we probably should have titled the thing like Watching a Miracle.
Right. You should
chrysalis,
ask me for ideas.
Like Watching a Miracle.
But we have chrysalis coming out of a hard place. And we're kicking that off today. And thinking about the week that we've just lived through together, we're in a hard place, I feel like. And it's a period of time unlike any other that we've gone through together. And so, once again, God could foresee it. He knew that we would be right here. And I think he wants to bring about, obviously, some serious transformation.
Absolutely.
Transformation is needed.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody watching the news this week felt anything but angst and disappointment and heartache at watching things unfold. And it's been a hard, hard, hard season and disappointing. It's hard to watch the events that take place on this last Wednesday and not have some big questions like how did this happen? How did we get here?
Mm-hmm.
What should we do about it? In fact, I think that probably there's going to be a lot more of that in the days ahead. It's going to be a lot more of like, how did we get here and who's to blame and where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to remind everybody here that none of this season, none of the things that we've even watched play out on the news are a surprise to God. In fact, Jesus even told us just before he was crucified, he said, let me bring you some comfort. He said, here on earth, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And Jesus is winning. And the things that we're doing here, Discovery, Sunday mornings and our online services, things that we're doing here are actually very relevant to the way forward.
I think we forget that.
Yeah.
I know I do. I can only speak for myself because I've lived in this place called the church for a long time, and the things that we really are supposed to be about, I can sometimes forget the power of them. And God forgive me for that.
Yeah, I think, Tracy, one of the greatest threats that we face right now is the church not being the church, and as the church getting distracted, maybe do some good things, maybe some important things, but not the God things. And if we remember that Jesus called us the church, he called us salt and light. He left us for these kinds of seasons,
and
to bring hope, to bring truth, to bring heaven to earth. He
but
left you and I for
and
that.
And if we've lost that focus, how do we get back there?
Oh my gosh, that's so. In a few minutes, we're going to kick off our Chrysalis series, and we're going to, honestly, guys, the next 4 weeks, the things that we talk about are going to be life-changing, not just for you individually, but us as a culture. But this morning, I want to read something else that I think is so relevant to today and to what we've watched play out, and I think will be so meaningful to you. What I want to do is I want to read from the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, some things that I think are so important for you and I to remember right now. So I think it's going to be up here on the screen while I read. But let's just listen to what Paul wrote 2,000 years ago. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Before we keep reading, I just want you to look at somebody maybe in your living room or in your kitchen and say, hey, there is an enemy, and it's not you. There is an enemy, and it's not you. Oh, man, we shouldn't turn on one another in the church, particularly right now. There is a real enemy. We have to focus on that. Let's keep reading what he says here. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Wow, that's powerful. And then listen to this, verse 18, he says, and then pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Church, this is our moment to get back to the things that God has called us to. And if the church is the church, not only will we personally navigate, but we will be able to be salt and light. We'll be effectual in our world today. And man, our world needs us to be effectual.
When you say the word effectual, being effective in the kind of transformation that's desperately needed in our country, I think about this week I went on a social distance walk in the park on the one day of sunshine, which happened to be the day after January 6th, with a very sweet friend. And basically just was lamenting. We were lamenting over the brokenness in our nation. And I said, I can sometimes, both of us as preacher and teacher, feel so ineffective right now. And this was the first question that she asked me. How is your prayer life? Mm-hmm. And it's just very clear. You cannot read God's word and not know that the church is to be a people of prayer. Person of righteousness who's been made righteous by the Spirit of God alive in them, their prayers are powerful and effective. So coming up in discovery, you know, I woke up this morning, John, and I looked at what's kind of part of our worship services today. And here they are. Message about transformation, which is God's work. Only God can bring it. A prayer initiative and a call to live in community, small groups. And I thought, that's it. I mean, if there's anything that we need, those are the things. So how can people participate in Discovery's call to prayer starting this week? How can they participate?
Okay, so we have this prayer initiative. It's to help all of us refocus on prayer. Mm-hmm. So all you need to do is use the text to prayer line and just text the word prayer. And what you'll do is every week you're going to get a prayer guide. And then on Wednesdays, we have set aside Wednesdays for the next 3 weeks during the series to be church-wide days of prayer. So we're going to have three different prayer gatherings on Zoom. Mm-hmm. There's going to be one at 6 a.m. If you want to get up at 6 a.m., I'm going to lead that. And we're going to have a prayer meeting at 6 a.m. There's going to be one at noon. For those of you that want to pray over lunch break, that's going to be led by Nicole. And then at 7 o'clock every Wednesday night, we're going to have some different leaders. This week, it's going to be Nicole Lamb's going to be leading it. And in the weeks, there'll be a different volunteer leader each time.
So the prayer guide will help you. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to be completely honest. I'm so convicted that I have got to get back to being a person of prayer. And this is a prayer guide that will walk you through that during the week. On Wednesdays, we can pray together, 6 a.m. with John, in the middle of the day with Nicole, and we'll have different leaders that will lead an evening time of prayer. So join us.
Yeah.
How can people get the prayer guide and participate?
You get the prayer guide by texting the word prayer. And then the other next thing we want to talk about is just devotional. We've been talking about this for 3 weeks.
Right. And a lot of people have requested to sign up, which is, again, that's how we're the church. It connects us. So if you haven't signed up for our Chrysalis devotional, how can they get it?
Use that text to prayer phone number and text the word devotional, and we'll get you that devotion. We're all starting today. But you can start anytime, but we want you to jump in and start with us today.
I hope our moderators are having their text to prayer line just blowing
up
from you. That's great, because that's how we can truly be what the church was called to be.
Yeah.
We're desperate for it. We need it. It's time for us to have the blessed privilege and honor to worship together.
Yes.
We ask that you'd ready your hearts. We have some music for you to sing to and worship to this morning, reminding us that the very breath in our lungs is from Almighty God, the only one who can bring the transformation that's needed in so many people, including our own hearts.
Yeah.
So would you join us in worship? John's going to lead us in prayer, and then our first message from Chrysalis coming out of a hard place. Would you pray for us, John?
Yes, do it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is no greater name. This is the only name given to us by which we must be saved.
Yes.
You are the beginning, the end. You're the Alpha, the Omega. Mm-hmm. Your Master, your Savior, your Lord Jesus. You are everything. Paul wrote that he wants to know nothing else but you, Jesus, and your resurrection. And even during these times of crisis and challenge and worry, we as a church, these are our moments to turn back and focus on you. I'm reminded of the moment in the garden where you brought three disciples. And it says, after you had this meeting, the cloud dispersed and they saw you alone. And so today in this moment, Jesus, we're going to worship because you are our hope.
That's right.
You are the way. You
yes.
are the truth. You are the life.
Yes, Lord.
And we are gathered here to worship you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's worship. Sing. Sing as we worship.
Shout your praise, our hearts.
Well, good morning and welcome to Chrysalis. For the next several weeks, we're going to talk about how to navigate our way through and out of a hard place. To do that, we're going to jump back into the book of Genesis. We'll go back to Genesis chapter 25. At Discovery, we believe very much that the Word of God, the Bible, is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Essentially, what that verse means is it means that we believe God does great things when we open up His Word. So jump in with me to God's Word back in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 25. Now, it's been a few weeks since we were in the book of Genesis, and you might have forgotten some of the things that we were walking through. In the fall, we were walking alongside the life of Abraham, just learning a ton about how God interacts with human beings. Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac. And toward the end of Abraham's life, we found a wife for Isaac. In fact, one of the longest chapters in the book of Genesis is devoted to discovering and meeting this incredible woman named Rebecca. So Isaac and Rebecca get married, and then just like that, 20 years vanish. Now, if you've lived for very long here on planet Earth, you probably can relate. Sometimes it feels that way. You wake up and boom, 5 years are gone, or boom, 10 years are gone, or in their case, 20 years are gone. Now, I don't mean that they didn't do anything. Likely they worked and they managed the things that they were in possession of. They did say goodbye to Abraham. But in 20 years, there's no record of adventures, no record of deeds or escapades, no poetry, no prayers, no songs, nothing. But that doesn't mean that nothing's happening. In fact, something really big is happening. A hard place is developing. You see, 20 years into their journey, Isaac and Rebecca still have no child. The one thing that they wanted, that they hoped for, a basic thing that a person could expect out of life, after 20 years, they still don't have, and it's caused incredible pain in their life. And you know what that's like, going through a season that you didn't expect, that you didn't deserve, that you didn't want. You would not have invited it into anybody else's life. That's where Rebecca and Isaac are. They're in a hard place. Now, how do you navigate a hard place? How do you navigate a season, a time, a day, a moment, an event that is so incredibly hard on the soul? Well, the book of Genesis records that Isaac chooses at that moment to pray. In fact, it just simply says Isaac prayed. And then as things start to get better for a little bit, all of a sudden they get harder. And if you've been through a hard place, and I know you have, that seems to be the tenor or the habit of difficult or hard seasons. I mean, you have these glimmers of hope or these glimmers of things going better, then all of a sudden they're gone and it's worse. It's worse than it was before. In fact, it's so bad for Rebecca that the book of Genesis records that she cries out, "Why is this happening to me?" Now, that's just not a simple question. In fact, some translators of Genesis 25 translate it this way. Rebecca cries out, "Why should I go on living?" That's what a hard place does. A hard place makes you question your very existence. I want to read it with you. If you have your Bible open, read with me in Genesis chapter 25, starting in verse 21. It says, "Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. And the Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. And the babies jostled." Now, the word jostled there is really talking about a war. Some translators said that they kicked and they fought. There's a war. There's an incredible tension going on inside of her. And so she cried out, "Why is this happening to me?" Or "Why should I go on living?" In fact, one translator said, "Why should I even be pregnant?" So chrysalis is a hard place meant to create and cause and birth great transformation. But the reality for the men and women, for the people who are in that chrysalis, in that hard place, It can feel like a coffin. It can feel suffocating, like death. And that's where Rebecca is. She's in this place where she doesn't understand. She can't figure it out. And her heart, her soul, her body is aching and longing for hope. So what does she do? Let's go back to Genesis 25. It says, she cried out, "Why is this happening to me?" And so she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." And when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Now Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. So chrysalis, coming out of a hard place. How do you navigate a hard, difficult season? Well, Rebekah modeled exactly what God intended for every one of us. In her most difficult moment, Rebekah made a journey back to God. What do you do when you wake up in January 2021 and you have just come out of the hardest year of your life? What do you do when you wake up in a family situation that you didn't expect, and a marriage that you didn't plan on being like this, in a job situation or an unknown, the difficulties, all sorts of, what do you do when you wake up in the middle of a hard place that you didn't ask for, that you don't think you deserve, and that you didn't expect? Well, Rebekah models it. We make a journey back to God. In fact, I'm absolutely convinced at the core of my being, no matter how I got here, no matter what happened or what took place to get you and I in this place in our life, God's intent is to use this time, this season, this hard place to draw us all back to Him. Now, I know that sounds easy from this perspective, talking here to you this morning, when the reality is the journey back to God can be almost as difficult as the difficulties themselves, because the journey back is littered with fears. But what's so amazing about Rebekah is that Rebekah, she forged a way even through those fears to find some incredible life-changing things about God. First of all, on her way back to God, she found that God Himself is findable. Genesis 25, 23, it simply says, "The Lord said to her." She made a journey back to God. She made a decision to take a step back and pursue God again. And on the very first thing that God did was speak. It was as if He was right there the entire time. He'd been with her the entire journey. He was there. You know, one of the fears is that hard places show up because God is distant and unaware and unconcerned, and He doesn't see. One of the fears that prey on us during hard seasons is this fear that God is nowhere to be found. And the reality is He's here. He's right here with us. And He's been looking for you and looking for me this entire time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow. The Lord's not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness." Now, if you've been in a hard time, you know exactly what this means. It feels sometimes like God's in the muck somewhere, stuck, and He's slow, and He can't get here fast enough. But the New Testament says God's not slow. Now, what God is He's patient. He's been patiently waiting for you, not wanting you to perish. I love that. He's not slow wanting you to perish, to suffer. He's wanting everyone to come to repentance, and that repentance means turn around. You see, this hard season in this entire hard season, God has been here trying to get your attention, trying to get you to just take a step back to him. It's what he does. I like this in the book of Acts. Paul is actually talking to some people who are really far from God, trying to help them understand where God is in the middle of this. And he says, God put some hard things in our life so that we would seek him and perhaps feel our way toward him and find him. And I love this phrase. Yet he is actually not far from any one of us. You know, that's what Rebecca found, is that Rebecca found the moment that she turned, she cried out, God, why is this happening to me? And she made a decision to make a journey back to God. On her very first step back, she found that God was right there. Not distant, not far off, not mysterious, right there finding her. You know, the second thing that Rebecca discovered, she discovered on her journey back to God, that the Father is redemptive. Let me say that again. She found that the Father is redemptive. And this is really important, because another one of the myths that descend on us in the hard places in life is the myth that the hard place showed up because we deserved it. In fact, one of the most popular words out there is the word karma, this idea that you get what you have coming to you. Now, we would not in a million years would any one of us ever look in the eyes of a friend who is struggling and say, hey, man, I'm sorry, but you deserve this. Not a one of us would say that to a friend. But in the deep recesses of our minds, in the quiet, dark, painful places of our souls, we start to believe that we're in this hard place because we did it. In fact, nearly every difficulty, tough moment, hard thing that happens, we think is a punishment from God. Now, there are a thing called consequences. And the truth is, if I were to look at my life through the lens of some sort of cosmic scale, it's true. I do have every bad thing coming to me. But God doesn't look at you through the lens of a big cosmic scale, because God is redemptive. God looks at you and me through the eyes of redemption. Listen to how God responded to Rebecca when Rebecca made a step back to God. When Rebecca made a step back to God, God's first thing to say was this: Rebecca, there are two nations in your womb and two peoples. God took his finger and he pointed into the future and he said, Rebecca, this hard moment isn't about what you did. He didn't take his finger and point it into her chest, that you had this coming. He took his finger and he pointed into the future, because God is a redemptive God. That's what Rebecca found, that when she made her step back to God, she found that God wants to use this moment in her life to birth a great and incredible and fruitful future. And what's true about Rebecca, what she found, is true for you and for me. Now, I don't want to suggest for a moment that God's like a pushover and God doesn't care about sin, because God's not. When it comes to sin and injustice and disobedience, God is no pushover, but he already fully paid the cost of every sin that you ever committed and ever will by sending his son Jesus to the cross. The book of Romans says God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. You and I have been saved completely from the wrath of God. God's wrath no longer hangs over your head and mine. The hard places in your life and in my life are not as a consequence for your disobedience. God uses these hard places in your life and mine to birth a future, to draw us to repentance, to birth something new. John 10 says the thief, these are the words of Jesus. Listen to this. The thief comes to steal, and the thief comes to kill, and the thief comes to destroy. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and that you might have it to the full, because the Father is a redemptive Father. That's what Rebecca found. Rebecca was tempted, you know, to keep running from God, but she found that the God is not distant, he's findable, and she discovered that God is not punitive, he's redemptive. And last, Rebecca found that the Father is present. Now, you might be struggling right now to track with this, to believe it. You might be thinking in your mind, listen, I get it, okay, I surrender, God is not distant, okay, God's near. And I get it, God's not punitive, but you don't understand, preacher. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how far away I am, how far I've fallen. I could never experience what you're talking about. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a book called Hosea. And the whole book is about people who are too far gone, like you, like me. In fact, in the book of Hosea, I won't tell you to read you the whole book. You can read it on your own. In chapter 11, God talks about the character of his own family, his own kids. He says, even when they were young, he says, I would pursue them and they would just keep running further and further and further away from me. But God says, my character hasn't changed. No matter how far that they have run. In fact, I'm going to read this with me in Hosea 11, verse 4. God says, this is what I do. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love. And I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws, and I bent down to them and I fed them. No matter how hard they have run, no matter how far off they have been, I have been present. I have knelt down low in the muck and the difficulty. In fact, over and over again, I lift the difficulty off the shoulders and I provide. God's close. Not to the cleaned up, not to the fixed up. God's close, not to the read up and the right. Psalm 34 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those crushed in spirit. These are men and women in hard places, the crushed in spirit, like Rebecca. That God is here, and you can experience him. And all it takes is for you to make a decision to make a journey back to God. What's the first step out of a hard place? What's the first step out of a hard season? What's the first step out of this hard circumstance that you find yourself in? The first step is to make a decision today to begin a journey back to God. The book of Zechariah says, Tell all the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, and I will return to you. So here we are in the beginning of 2021, and we can see clearly in our rearview mirror how difficult 2020 was. We're looking with some sort of a fear and trepidation about 2021. How do you begin to navigate out of that into that? You make a commitment to journey back to God. And there you will find, in the moment you make that commitment, there you will find a God who's findable, and a Father who's redemptive, and a Father who's present here today. So let me encourage you this morning to make a commitment. And I'm going to share with you, we have a couple of really great opportunities for you today. I'm going to lead you first in a decision prayer. And then after that, you're going to have an opportunity today to dive in, to make a step to being with God every day in His Word. We have a devotional that we're all starting today. And you can make a commitment today to join that. In fact, you can just text the text to prayer line, the word chrysalis or the word devotional, and we will get you a daily devotional and you can begin to take your steps back to God. We're also kicking off a prayer initiative. During this prayer initiative, this will be an opportunity for you to join me and the rest of this church in drawing close to God, journeying back to Him. So let me give you more than a challenge, a beautiful invitation to make a step back to God right now by joining me in this prayer. Would you pray wherever you are? Put everything down and turn all the distractions out just for a moment and join me in this. This has been one of the hardest seasons of my life. And I don't know exactly how it all got here, but I do know how I want to leave it. I want to leave it as a moth or a butterfly leaves a chrysalis. I pray that as I leave, as this family leaves, that we will leave mature and beautiful and ready for the next season of life. I'm realizing today that what I need to do is make a commitment to return to you. And so today, I'm coming back to you. Would you save me? Pray this prayer. Jesus, would you save me? I pray in Jesus' name that these steps that were taken today would bear incredible fruit. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, John, for a great message today about the power of transformation. What an amazing thing that only Almighty God can really bring about. And I pray that as we take the time to be in His presence, that we'll join Him in that transformational work.
Yeah. So, truth is that we all right now can experience His presence together in prayer.
Absolutely.
And so we are grateful that you've been sending in your prayer requests. And what we do each Sunday is we gather together and we come in His presence together and bring forth some praises and some prayer requests.
Yes, we have both. And again, it's an honor that you share them with us.
Absolutely.
Every week by using that text to prayer line. Today, we have prayer requests for people who are recovering from some injuries, people who are recovering from COVID, continued presence of God in that healing process. We have prayer requests from people who have upcoming surgeries and asking for God's provision and for those procedures to go well because they need relief in their physical bodies. We have praises coming in from people. Our dear friend Ron, who works over at Giadroni Middle School, has shared that God is answering his prayers and answering them through the people of God.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask prayer for my son, who has lost yesterday a very precious friend who he grew up with. And his longing was that that friend would know that he mattered to the people who loved him. We have prayer requests for people who are moving away and want peace, want God to go before them. And a dear friend who's moving to Colorado, people asking that they continue to grow into the image of Christ. What a great prayer request. And we're going to pray over that. And people who have surprising job offers coming their way that they feel like it's just the hand of God. And we are trusting that God is going to move in those new opportunities. So would you join us now as we take these prayers to the throne of God? Let's pray. It's a privilege, Father, our everlasting Father, whose arm is not too short to save, whose ears hear us and is attentive to his people, who has said, come to my throne with confidence because I have provided a way. It is a privilege to come to you this morning, Lord, and lift up these precious, precious people in our community. We thank you that you hear us. We thank you that you have answered prayer. You answer them through your people often, and we give thanks for that. We pray your comfort for those who are walking through a mourning process today. We pray your provision for those who are needing surgical procedures and physical relief. For those who have that upcoming, we pray that you will be with them and with the hands of those who are giving them care. For those who are dealing with injury, we pray fast recovery. Lord, for this family who is making a move to Colorado, please go before them. Provide amazing community. Provide for them financially. Give them peace. God, we thank you for the prayers today requested for growth, spiritual growth. Lord, that you will continue to provide the right tools, the spiritual disciplines to grow people. We thank you for the prayer request today, asking that God would move in his people to simply love one another well. God, we thank you for the new job opportunities that have come as a surprise. We know that there's not accidents. We know that you are moving, and we pray for courage for this friend who's moving into a new nurse supervisor role. We pray that you would use this season for your glory. God, we thank you so much for the ways that you have specifically called us to be your hands and feet. Help us to remember to focus on the true calling of being the church. And God, help us to never forget the privilege of coming to your throne and bringing prayers to you. It pleases you when we come to you in faith. So answer these prayers in your perfect timing and your will. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tracy, so much for leading us through that prayer time. And thank you, Discovery, for taking your Sunday to join with us. A couple more things that we have in front of us is that Nicole's going to talk a little bit more about groups. There's lots of group opportunities in the next couple weeks that are launching. So so Nicole's going to share a little bit about that and then come right back and we have a couple last goodbyes. So Nicole.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nicole, and if I haven't met you yet, I serve as the Director of Central Services here at Discovery. And a number of weeks ago, a study came out from the Harvard Center for Human Flourishing that was done in collaboration with the American Bible Society. And it was a study that they had begun prior to COVID, and then unexpectedly, it continued through many of the COVID months. And so they were able to do some unique measurements at a unique time. And what they found, probably not unexpectedly, was that the measures for human flourishing dropped across the board during the time of COVID. However, for those people for whom they were connected in to community on a weekly basis and reading the Bible on a weekly basis, the measurements for human flourishing on Harvard's scale were a full 20 points above those for whom those things were not true. And that likely does not come as a surprise to any of you. We, as Jesus people, recognize our great need for connection with God and connection with his people. And so in this time, we are preparing, as we do every January, to launch groups at Discovery again. So the week of January 17th, our groups will be kicking off again. And we have groups that will be focusing on marriage and parenting, groups for young adults, groups focused on racial reconciliation, groups on emotionally healthy spirituality, groups focused on the sermon discussion. There are many, many different opportunities. Most of them will be happening online, so that makes the scheduling and connecting in easy. And we highly encourage every single one of you to connect into a group in this challenging season so that you can be being fed as you need to be. But also, when you're in a group, you're available to extend that opportunity for connection to others. It's one of the most significant ways that you can serve and make a difference in your community around you is to make yourself available within groups to others so that they can experience community. So go ahead and drop groups in your online comments here or on your connection card for more information, and we will be in touch. All right.